This is the happiness quotient. I think we're going to call this one Survivor and the Adventures of Tim and Jim. That's right. We're with our guest, Chris Carter, who's checking in from Jackson, Montana today along his 3,100-mile journey of the Continental Divide Trail. He's going to give us an update of what life is like on the trail there. I didn't appreciate it. I never learned a thing being happy. For a free PDF download of A Course in Happiness, go to patreon.com/thehappinessquotient, where you will find a free, colorful issue replete with adventure photography and some good, wise words. Welcome to the Happiness Quotient. I'm Tom Pollard. Today, we welcome back our inspiring and intrepid Pacific Crest Trail thru-hiker and filmmaker, Chris Carter, who I caught up with on a live Instagram session on July 9th, 2021. That's today, as I'm recording this, where he was camping in Jackson, Montana. Population, not much over 100. I first spoke with Chris in episode 67 to talk about his beautiful and moving documentary about his through hike of the PCT called To Measure a Mile. At that time, Chris was in the nascent stages of planning a double through hike of the Continental Divide Trail and the Appalachian Trail, a journey of 6 months and thousands of miles, about 5,000-something, give or take. He is now on the second half of the Continental Divide Trail and has met some big obstacles along the way. This very day, as I write this and read this, he is encountering lots of smoke from forest fires, and his next steps are actually in question. So we will look forward to talking with Chris about how it's been on the trail. It has not been easy. What he's doing is about 32 miles a day, give or take. He's a madman, completely insane. But on the other hand, one of the most sane people I think I've ever spoken with. Today's episode is a slightly edited version of my Instagram Live conversation with Chris, which you can find on my Instagram page at Tom Dharma Pollard. Our conversation started with Chris giving me a synopsis of his objectives and what it is he's undertaking at this time. We spoke about overcoming loneliness and doubt, challenges of all human beings, let alone those on a 3,100-mile through hike of the Continental Divide Trail, looking down the barrel of the Appalachian Trail right afterward. He also told me about his friends Tim and Jim. Believe it or not, that's his right and left foot. I'm not sure which is which, actually. Here's my conversation with back-to-back through hiker Chris Carter from his campsite in Jackson, Montana.
I am currently through hiking the Continental Divide Trail right now, which is a long 3,100-mile wilderness footpath that runs from Mexico up to Canada. It's totally kicking my butt, but has been one of the best experiences of my life, as most things usually are. And then after that, I've got plans to try to hop over to the East Coast immediately and then rip a southbound trip of the Appalachian Trail. So it's been a dream of mine for honestly as long as I can remember, at least kind of my older years, to do what's called hiking the triple crown of through hikes and long distance trails, which is the Appalachian Trail, the Pacific Crest Trail, and the Continental Divide Trail. And I did the Pacific Crest Trail in 2018 and got the bug. It ruined my life in the best way. And once you do one of them, you just got to do all of them. So now is a good time. I had the time, I had the money, and I'm giving it a shot. And it's been freaking wild, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, well, thank you for the little synopsis of it. So the Continental Divide Trail certainly didn't go fully smooth. I mean, first it sounds like you've seen like five people the entire time, and you've encountered deep snow in Colorado, like incredible, like 100 river crossings down in the southern part.
Yep.
everything thrown your way, including like the mental anguish and challenge of
dude,
what it's like, you know? So tell me about some of those challenges.
For sure. Well, it's really cool to be talking with you like during the journey, because I haven't had any time to process this, and it's going on right now. I'm in one of the loneliest stretches I've ever been in. In my life, really. I've never been this alone for so long. I mean, I'll go over 100-mile stretches without seeing a single soul, because I've kind of pushed ahead of the pack of other people that are hiking the CDT, and also I've done some flipping around to avoid the snow that I ran into that you mentioned. So yeah, it's a mental, I think it's a mental battle over all of it at this point. And it's really coming down to the wire of like, do I want this bad enough, you know? And what is it that's motivating me and pushing me to the end? Because I am stoked to do this, but the grind gets to you, man. And so mentally, I'm in Jackson, Montana right now, and just got an awesome boost here in town. But it's really cool to be having this conversation with you right now, because it's definitely a grind, and there's a lot of big decisions I got to make. And there's just, you know, some things that I have to, I don't know, some things I have to figure out. And so it's, yeah, it's kind of fresh on my mind. But yeah, I mean, I started relatively early, but kind of in the pack of people that are starting the CDT, and got up to the San Juan Mountains in Colorado really fast. I'm trying to, you know, average pretty high mileage a day to link the two trails. And yeah, the CDT has just proven to be another beast. You know, I grew up in Kenya, as we've talked about in our previous conversation, and did not have a lot of mountaineering experience in Kenya. So when I got to the San Juans, and it literally looked like Antarctica, and I got up there and I felt like I was on, you know, Shackleton's voyage across the Antarctic. I was pretty out of my comfort zone for sure. But thankfully I was able to link up with a guy who had a little more kind of mountaineering and snow experience than I had. And he had actually been waiting in Pagosa Springs for 5 days for someone to show up. And I rolled in kind of all stoked and ready to go forward. And he was like, dude, I've been waiting for someone to go into the mountains. We'll be the first ones of the CDT class of 2021 to give it a shot. And I was like, well, son of a gun, let's do it. Like, I'm stoked. I don't really know what I'm getting myself into. And so we got some snowshoes each, and I got this cool thing called a whippet, which is like an ice axe on the end of a trekking pole and micro spikes. We kitted ourselves out and we charged up into the mountains, and dude, immediately it was just like, holy crap, what have I gotten myself into? I mean, we were post-holing with snowshoes up to our hips at times, and it was just so slow going. You know how it is. And if you don't have the proper technique and you don't have the proper kind of idea of what you're doing, then it can definitely get to you. But it was, I mean, it was one of the most incredible views of the trip, the most incredible experience, but man, it tested us mentally. And our goal was to do this like over 100-mile push to a town called Silverton, and so we had enough food and stuff to do that. Kind of, we knew we were going to average a lot less miles per day, and we got up there and we were getting it done, but it was slow going, and there was no trail to follow. It was totally under snow, and so we just kind of stayed on top of the ridges and made our own line, just loosely following the GPS, and it was unbelievable. I was blown away. But a couple days, well, I'd say like maybe 4 or 5 days into our push through the mountains, started snowing at 3 a.m. and then just didn't stop all day. And we had looked at the weather and it had said some storms early on in the week, but we got through those. And then there was this little tiny rainstorm that it was talking about. And that ended up being the one that dropped like 2.5 feet of fresh powder up in the mountains on us. And so we were sitting there in our tents watching the snow slowly rise up our tents, and I was looking at a line on my tent, and I was like, all right, once it reaches this line, we got to make a decision, because like, we're about to get freaking buried in here. And so I was talking with my other friend that was in the tent, and we were like, oh, this is getting sketchy, like, I don't know if we're gonna, like, we gotta make a decision, like, we might have to bail out of this. And it got to that point in my tent, and we were like, all right, let's make a decision here. And the snow had gotten so high, Tom, that we couldn't find one of my friend's snowshoes. And we excavated like the entire area around his tent, and it was just gone. We could not find it. We were like, son of a gun, of all the times we need a snowshoe, it's right now. This is crazy. Like, we still had like, I don't know, like 50 miles to push. We're like, this is just bonkers. And I was like, well, let's plan out some, you know, bail options. Let's see what we get. And let's just try to push forward, see if we can make the miles. And so we were just getting super cold, and he decided, like, all right, Chris, unfortunately, you're going to have to pave the way, and I'll walk behind you with one snowshoe. And so, oh, it actually looks like he just joined on the live.
No kidding. Hold
yeah,
on.
the guy that I did the San Juans with.
Well, greetings to what's your friend's handle
there? His name's In the Sky 21.
In the Sky. I see some laughter face there.
Yeah.
That's
awesome.
Man.
Yeah,
props Sky, to you.
Sky's battle. Well, right now, I think he just finished off the Colorado stretch. We're unfortunately not hiking together anymore, but Sky, you're a thug, and it was awesome sharing those miles with you. But anyway, so I kind of set off, and we were just making our own way, and the guy was behind me with one snowshoe, like just bawling out. It was awesome. I was so impressed at his endurance, and we got to – We started going, and we realized we were going to have to bail. There was no way we were going to make the miles and make it to town with the food that we had. So we saw this kind of gorge that went down to a road that we could take to Pagosa and bailed down that gorge. And it took us 2 days to bail out, and it was probably the coldest I've ever been. I mean, we were soaked to the bone. There was snow piled on either side of this gorge. We were post-holing up to our chest sometimes. I mean, just sinking in so deep. And at one point, Sky just said, hey, let's just get down in the river and run down the river. Like, it's going to be faster. And so we literally just jumped in this, like, freezing river with snow banked on either side and just ran down the river. And it was extremely, extremely cold. I started getting bad shin splints, too, because I was using my snowshoes for the first time. And
yeah,
it was just kind of, I don't know, something I wasn't really used to. And started developing these shin splints, which I hadn't had all trip. And so poor Sky, I was like, look, man, I know we got to push down below the snow line, but I cannot walk another step. We have to set up camp in this most heinous place. And it was like sleeting and snowing. So we set up camp and had one of the most miserable cold nights ever. And he was awesome. My hands were numb and shivering, and he like helped me set up my tent. And we have a cool relationship after that. Anyways, all that to say, the snow kicked our butts in the San Juans, and we got down to Pagosa Springs, realized we had to make a decision. So from there, we decided, look, if we're going to do the miles that we can do, and especially with all this fresh powder, we're going to have to bounce up to Wyoming, rip out the dry parts of Wyoming, come back down to Colorado, see if it's a little more snow-free, and we just got to start hopping around this trail. And as a thru-hiker, it's really hard to explain, but you have, like, this visceral desire to do a continuous footpath, which is where, like, you don't take any time off trail. And, I mean, you don't, like, deviate off that line. You just go straight forward, come hell or high water. And that was obviously messed up. And when I was doing the PCT, I was religious about it. I was like, I'm not going to deviate, you know, I'm going to do continuous footpath. And I've just had to have kind of a different mindset for this trail and realize that to get it done in the time frame I have, I need to be bouncing up and down and knocking out the sections that I can that aren't snowy and that allow me to do the miles that I need to do. So though I was loath to do it, we bounced up to Lander, Wyoming, and then southbound at the Great Basin in Wyoming. Did that, got to Colorado. It was still a little too snowy, so I flipped back up to Yellowstone. And right now I'm doing Yellowstone to Canada, and then I'll have to come down and rip the Wind River Range and the San Juans, and I'll officially finish the trail in Pagosa Springs. So kind of hard to, I don't know, it's kind of hard to explain without a map, but it's a heinous jumble of flipping around, but I'm getting it done, and it's been an adventure.
Yeah, well, no, that's a great synopsis of how back and forth and up and down it's all been. And, you know, Chris, we had a great conversation a week or so ago on the phone. I think we talked for like 90 minutes. And
it was awesome. That was honestly such a huge encouragement.
I mean, you might be one of the other people on the planet who matches my level of stokeness and how to get amped up and just like walk into a room and people are like, whoa, that guy is fired up, man. And so all of a sudden, like 90 minutes into our conversation, it occurred to me, I was like, oh, I should have recorded that, but I'm glad I didn't. It was just the magic of like reconnecting. And so we've never met in person, but I feel like I've known you, you know, forever and ever and ever. And I'm really excited to meet you when you come out. You're going to come out to Maine and do a southbound hike of the Appalachian Trail. And you know, the AT goes right near where I live, like just a couple of miles. So, Hopefully you'll be ahead enough that you can chill and spend some time in the Mount Washington Valley and recuperate, take some showers, eat lots of good barbecues and things like that.
Oh my gosh, I'm so pumped. I totally agree, Tom. I feel like we got a cool connection and I'm just extremely excited to link up with you up there and actually meet you in person. And yeah, hopefully I'll have a little bit of a squad by that point. And I've been telling them about you and they're stoked to meet you as well. And yeah, it's going to be awesome. I'm super, super amped. And it'll just be sweet to be back on the East Coast because the West Coast is dope, but there's a lot of obstacles out here. The AT is a little more straightforward. It's kind of just like mental grind, green tunnel, get it done. Yep. Out here, it's like, all right, you got snow up to your hips. Like, what are you going to do? And then suddenly there's like fires all around you and there's smoke in the air. What are you going to do? And it's like, oh my gosh, it's just, and the CDT in general just is a much more brutal trail to follow. And so for, you know, a lot of it has just been kind of bushwhacking and finding your own way. And in 2020, not a lot of people hiked the trail because of COVID. And so a lot of places, there's just not like a trail to follow. You know, it's just like this, you know, you're kind of looking at the GPS. You're like, I think I'm going the right way. And just choose the path of least resistance between these two peaks.
Right on,
so
right on.
It's hard to just kind of like zone out and enjoy it as much as you're just like navigating the whole time, which is cool in its own way and has given me a lot of like cool, you know, skills in my toolbox, but it's definitely added to the mental grind. And then doing alone.
Hey, so Michael Conkle just wrote, dude, this is lit stokeness. So he might want in to say that I he has as much stoke as the two of us added up, which is dangerous right now.
Mike
Chris
Conkle,
so
is one of my best buddies from Chattanooga. He's like one of the
phenomenal
guys that got me into ultra running. And if you're listening, amazing. Brother, I love and miss you a lot.
Amazing. Wow, Chris. So Chris, I don't want to keep you too long. You probably got some things you need to do today, like hike the CDT. You know, this is the thing that really interests me and that we spent a lot of our time talking about a week or so ago is what happens to a person when they're feeling tried. And I mean, the physical part sometimes is really, it comes naturally to you in a lot of ways and to me as well. And I always enjoyed the obstacles physically. The pain sometimes even was like a friendly reminder of just that my body was working and I was always able to kind of psych it out. It's the other stuff. It's like the little nagging fears. And so for me on a mountain, for instance, it would be in the middle of the night, I would wake up and I would hear the familiar but frightening ping of a glacier ever so slightly shifting. And you could almost feel it reverberate through your body. And I would, so I'd lay awake thinking, I hope a crevasse doesn't open up and swallow
and
me up,
you, which, man.
Which theoretically could happen, you know, but for you, like how in those difficult times of whether it's loneliness or questioning what the heck you're doing out there, what your life is meaning about, and where are you finding your strength? Is it to the higher power? Is it, do you dig deep and suck it up and just, I mean, what happens in those moments of angst?
Yes, and as you know from our last conversation, that is a very long answer with a lot of different facets, and so it's really cool to explore. And I think the mental game changes based on if you're hiking alone or if you're doing these journeys, like for you on Everest with other people, or you know, if it's like you're doing it isolated, and you have to kind of figure out how to mold yourself to those situations. Because even when you're with people, it's a mental grind, and it's an individual effort no matter how many people you're around. When you're trying to summit a mountain, you still got to push yourself through that. But you do have those brothers around you that can support you and uplift you, and you know. So I think, you know, I've had to figure out both of those on this trip. I've been blessed to hike with a couple of really cool people like Sky. And even in that, I mean, I faced probably one of the biggest mental and physical challenges with him. And in that, just learning, honestly, what we talked about last time, which you kind of brought to mind, is this idea of impermanence, you know, this idea that no matter how bad it's going to get, it's going to eventually end. There's nothing that's totally permanent. And B, I know I'm going to love it in the end. And so it might be the worst thing and the hardest thing I've ever done in the moment. But I know that this is fostering awesome things inside of me and just has been a dream of mine for so long. And also, no matter how bad it gets, I know that it's going to get better at some point and this can't last forever. And so I really appreciate you kind of putting a word to that the last time we talked, because that was really encouraging to me of like, yeah, this is something that I cling to a lot, but I haven't really identified that as kind of a coping mechanism. But it's definitely something that I've had to realize is like, no matter how high this hill, no matter how smoky the air, how deep the snow, it's going to get better. And these are going to be dope stories that I'm going to tell my kids and then I'm going to tell my friends, and it's worth it, you know. And this is why I came out here. I came out here to kind of suffer for the pursuit of adventure and the pursuit of doing something that I love. And so I would honestly, that's one of the biggest things, you know, you mentioned clinging to like a higher power. So as a Christian, I am clinging to the Lord as much as I can. And this time as being alone has just been awesome to get to talk to him and kind of grow deeper in my relationship with him. And so that's been super, super cool. And I've just been able to grow in very deep ways there. But yeah, it's just all that together. You got to figure it out. You know, it's definitely the hardest part. I mean, you can process your childhood five times and then you're like, all right, what do I think about now? And then you think about this and you think about that. And the mental challenge is getting to me, man. Like, I'm not going to lie. At this point in the journey, my body has adjusted incredibly. It's awesome. And it's like the only way to do it is to thru-hike. But you get to the point where you rip out 32-mile days back to back to back and you don't feel anything. And it's tight. Right. Whereas if I did that at the beginning of the trip, it felt like I just went through a blender, you know? And so it's really, I was just thinking about it the other day, like ripped out a 32 and I was like, this is sick. Like I went into camp and I wasn't hobbling on crutches and it was awesome. And it's cool to see like progress. But with that, then as the physical challenge kind of goes away, then the mental challenge comes to the forefront because you're not constantly thinking about your pain. You're like, wow, okay, what do I think about now? And though I'm walking through the most beautiful parts of America, it still gets monotonous, you know, and you can, there's only so much you can see. And frequently you're walking through just very kind of dull. You're on a road walk for like 50 miles and you're like, all right, here we go. And I'm using my phone for primary navigation. So it's hard to use a lot of battery to like listen to podcasts and music and stuff. And so, dude, yeah, it's crazy. My newest thing that let me know I was going a little bit insane is, do you happen to know the show Survivor, where they like vote people off the island and stuff? Do you know that show?
It's awful. It's a lovely people getting being really mean to each other and lying with an excuse to lie.
It's a horrible show on so many levels, but I do actually love it a lot. And I used to watch it with my mom a lot. And we would, I've made this like fantasy Survivor show in my mind and have named all these fantasy people, and then I'm like mentally voting them off one by one in my mind until I've got this whole like fantasy season of Survivor.
There you go.
Yeah. And I did that, and I was like, all right, this I feel like the insanity is getting real at this point. I've like named both my feet and I just talk to them throughout the day. Like, it's bad.
Can you tell us what you've named your feet, or is that something you'd rather not?
It's like Tim and Jim. I got to do it something that I remember. Tim's the trouble one. It's been the one giving me issues the whole time. It's like either got a blister or it's been giving me tendonitis. And so I just, you know, curse that guy all day. And
Jim's Adventures with Tim and Jim. You can't vote them out, I don't think, on the Survivor game. You need Tim and Jim to bring to the final three.
You're not wrong. So yeah, there's been a couple things where I'm like, all right, this is getting a little crazy and maybe I'm going a little insane, but in it, I'm learning a lot. I'm learning a lot of ways to cope. And so yeah, there's good and there's bad ways to cope, I think. Yeah. It's a super great question. It's a super deep one that I don't know. I'm still learning, you know, and by the end of this trip, if we do another interview, I'll have a better answer. Because right now I'm in the thick of it and I'm like, you're asking that question. I'm like, shoot, yeah, what do I do? Because it's rough for sure. And I haven't thought about quitting at all, but it's like it's just come to my mind how difficult it is. And it's a lot more challenging than I thought. And now the mental challenge again is coming in. And I remember it being so hard on the PCT, but you don't recall the depth of just the struggle and how much it zaps your energy. Because when you have a negative mental response to something, then your physical energy is zapped, you know? And so, as you know so well, and so I have to keep a positive mindset throughout the day as a survival method to get the miles in that I need. And when I see myself start going down a negative track, I know it's going to affect my performance and my body. And so I have to keep that positivity, you know?
Right on. Hey, Chris, I don't want to keep you for too long. I want to ask you one thing about your film, and then I'm hoping you can give us just a little visual of where you're at. But your film, the way I met you was when I watched your amazing and awesome film, To Measure a Mile, about your Pacific Crest Through hike, which I'm getting goosebumps remembering how incredibly blown away I was at it. Was just a great film, but it was the first time you ever made a film, and I really felt like I knew what it was like to go through the trials and tribulations, the highs and the lows, the friendships, the separations. Like, it was like life in this 1 hour and 15 minute film. To Measure a Mile, anybody who hasn't seen it, go to YouTube right now. Meaningless. It is so good. Well, now you're on the Continental Divide Trail, and then you're going to be on the AT with should all things go well. You're filming like a madman. We will, I would imagine, see a film or two, or part two and part three, in 2 years, because it's probably going to take you forever to go through this. So yes, there is a film planned, right?
There is a film planned. I'm super stoked for it. The footage has been tight. I've had to have a reframework of kind of what the narrative is going to be for this film, because it's been a much more isolated experience. And something that I think resonated with a lot of people with To Measure a Mile was the community. You know, I was able to introduce a lot of characters and people like Ike and Grizz, and just people that made the film kind of come alive, and it added some cool dialogue. And this time I was talking to Bugs the other day, and I was like, dude, I feel like I have to have a totally different framework in terms of like what I film and how I film. And honestly, it was cool talking to you the other week, where you were like, dude, in those moments of loneliness and in those moments of just like agony where you're trying to figure out like what to turn to and what to cling to, like your girlfriend's just left you and you feel totally alone, how are you going to cope with this for the next 100 miles? Film that and like capture those emotions. And I was like, I don't want to, I just want to sit in the fetal position in my tent and wallow in my grief, you know,
sucking your thumb.
Yeah, exactly. But I set up my camera like the day after my girlfriend left, and I was just like, all right, I mean, here's my emotions. I don't know who's going to see this. I don't know if this is going to be in the film, but life sucks right now. This is really, really hard. And I don't know what I'm clinging to right now. I'm just trying to give it a shot. And it was, I mean, it was really cool. Not only was it helpful to like verbally process, but I think, like you said, those are things that people are going to resonate with. They want to see this element of a journey and this element of like, what does it take to do something like this? You know, anyone can travel out to Glacier and look at the scenery, but to know what it means to walk from Mexico to Glacier and then experience that, it's like you got to kind of tell that story. So for me, I've had to reframe how I think about how the video is going to be, but yeah, I'm amped for the footage. It's been so sweet. I mean the Lord's just throwing me some incredible views out here, and so as far as like footage wise it's going to be sweet. And then I think that there's a cool story behind like the loneliness in this and the isolation. And so I think now that I've kind of understood more of what the journey is going to look like, I'm able to figure out kind of what I want to film and how I want to film it, and hopefully can synthesize it into something people can resonate with. So, I mean, the ultimate goal is to just try to inspire people to not necessarily through hike, but just go out there and just do what you want to do. And even if it's going to be like the hardest thing you've ever done, and even if in the moment it's going to be the worst thing you've ever experienced, it's impermanent. It's going to, the worst is going to end. The good is going to come, and it's going to be something that you're going to look back on and be so proud of yourself for. Mm-hmm. You know, even just the past couple of weeks has been probably the loneliness I've ever felt. And I'm sitting here feeling really, really proud for what I've done, you know? Right. And so even if the journey ended here, even if I get injured or something happens, I'll come away with just a new understanding of myself, how deep I can dig, and, you know, just a desire to keep pushing those dreams. And so hopefully if the film can do anything like that, then I'll be psyched, you know, but yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. You know, Chris, the thing that every single human being on the planet, no matter where that person is, they can all identify with what it feels like to feel lonely and lost. Everyone gets that. And that's just part of the human condition. And so you're taking your story to a place that most people will never know, let alone climb or hike just one of these three trails, but three of them within a few years, two back to back. So you're doing something extreme, but to bring a story that everybody can relate to home. And that to me is the beauty of what you're doing. And listen, I don't have a ton of followers on Instagram, but I've seen a lot of hearts fly up on the side. Michael Conkle is pumped up because he got a shout out. Evan B. Taylor, perma-stoked to catch this today. Love you, Chris. I saw somebody from Kenya, a Carter. Is your mom in Kenya maybe watching?
She is in Kenya, yeah. I saw that she hopped on for a second. I know she's got a lot going on today, so it's cool that she's able to snag a little bit of it.
And here is Pablo, says, Chris, you're the strongest man I know. That ain't bad. Go ahead. Anything, Pablo, is he a trail friend of yours?
Yeah, I mean, it's just been really cool. Like, social media can be used for good and for bad, you know? And it can be a very like arrogant thing, or it can be something where you draw just this sense of community. And honestly, like the community that I've gotten from being able to stay connected to like friends on Instagram, Facebook, and just random DMs people send me and random messages. Mm-hmm. I'll get random phone calls from people. They've been so, so encouraging and really have kind of kept me centered and kept me focused and helped me see that like there's people that are supporting me and behind me, and that people remember me, you know, because it's easy to be like, I'm alone in the world out here. I haven't seen another soul for 100 miles. Holy crap. And it's cool to come back and people be like, dude, you got this. I'm rooting for you. And it's this, you know, it's kind of this like fruitless journey. Oftentimes it's like rock climbing. It's like you're just going up and down a rock, but there's something in it that people resonate with, and that is deep. Yeah. And so it's just really cool to be like, other people are stoked on the journey, and I'm so thankful for that. So yeah, the support has been unreal, and it's just been kind of what gets me through the hard days. So I couldn't be more thankful for it, you know.
That's awesome. So here's a viewer, somebody watching Pluto, Plut0, Pluto. I've watched your film three times with a ha ha ha. Some others checking in. You guys, Ethan Stapp, you guys are awesome. Keep up the great adventures. Dude, so JRC, you're awesome, Chris. Praying over your continued journey, brother. And keep pushing. Alyssa Bergthold, keep pushing, Chris. You're an inspiration to us. Trussell, sup, you too have been following Chris for a while and love this content. Hey, and then
thanks for the Sawyer, by the way. I appreciate that. He's hooked me up.
Right on. And okay, Becky Carter is back. Nependa Wee Wee. What is that? What is that? Did I get that wrong?
Nependa Wee Wee. It means I love you in Swahili.
I think I got it wrong. Okay.
That's all right. No, I appreciate all that. That's awesome.
Phenomenal. That's so cool. Hey, Chris, so just give us a quick tour before we say so long. Let me see. You stayed behind a hostel last night. It looks like that's your tent. Do you want to quickly shout out any of your sponsors or people that you are madly in love with or family that is watching right now? Just giving you a prod here.
No, that's awesome. I appreciate it. No, I've been blown away by the support of, you know, everybody that's been kind of watching the journey, and maybe they – you know, just kind of started following after To Measure a Mile and stuff. And it's been really cool to like feel like there's people that I know and that I don't know out there that are kind of pushing me on. And so couldn't be more thankful for that. I mean, obviously my girlfriend coming out to join me was huge. Like, she came out and joined me for 2 weeks and left like a week and a half ago. And that was just, I mean, the sacrifice on her part was huge. And then with the mental and emotional boost that it gave me was super needed in that time. So that was awesome. But yeah, also just like an update for where I'm headed. I I kind of have a big decision to make right now. I've been part of what's been adding to some of the mental challenge is there's been a lot of smoke building up where I've been walking through right here in kind of the Idaho-Montana border. And looking at the smoke map, I'm kind of in the swath of smoke right now, and there's tons of places that don't have smoke. But it's compounding for a couple issues. Like, it's just been making it a lot harder to push the miles. The uphill plot is a lot more difficult because it's getting a little harder to breathe and stuff. And it's there's also just so many blowdowns. So the trail is not, like, super maintained right here. And so it's been there's like trail crews out that are working their butts off to try to clear the trails, but I'm like just ahead of them. And so I've been just going through some crazy blowdowns, and it's really slowing down progress. So for a number of reasons, I've decided to just kind of pick a direction and stick with it. And so I think I'm going to flip up to Canada and then southbound the rest of the trip from here, because Glacier is looking tight right now and there's no smoke, and there's a big, it's super dry up there. And there's a big fear of maybe a fire closure up there in the next month or so. And it's just been a dream of mine for a long time to experience Glacier. So I kind of want to experience that before it shuts down. Yes. And so, yeah, I think at this point I've got plans are kind of hilariously coming together super last minute, as they always do on trail. But I've got some opportunities to get up to the Canadian border, and then that'll actually, I've got to do that hitchhike anyways. Whether I go this way or whether I come back down. Because once I get to Canada, I've got to come all the way back down and rip out the Wind River Range and the San Juan in Colorado before I officially finish the trail. So it kind of makes sense for me to just get that hitch out of the way, get up to Canada, and then start knocking out these sections southbound. And I think I'll be able to do them a little faster because the trail is going to be a little more cleared and it's just not going to be as difficult. And yeah, so at this point, I'm in Jackson, Montana right now, and I was having dinner last night, and these sweet old ladies were, like, listening to my story. They ended up buying me my dinner and gave me 2 ribeye steaks. They were so stoked on it, and it was just what I needed, because the hiker hunger was real. And they're from Helena, Montana, and so they were like, hey, we're driving up to Helena tomorrow. You could just come with us. And that's like half of my trip up north. And so I was like, that would be tight. And they're like, yeah, we've got a place you can stay and crash. And so that happened last night. And I was like, all right, guess I'm doing that. So it looks like I'm going to be getting with them, going like almost 200 miles north and getting to Helena. And then from there, I'll start my hitch to East Glacier. And then from East Glacier, I can get up to the terminus. I mean, one of the coolest things and also one of the hardest things about a thru hike is how, you know, plans just come together so last minute, just out of necessity. And they always seem to work, because it's hard to know, like, where you're going to be at certain times and how fast you're going to be. And, like, something may happen. Like, there might be a 30-mile section of tree blowdowns where you're doing, like, 0.5 miles per hour. And so you're, like, 2 days behind getting to your resupply than you thought, you know. And so it's just like plans just kind of come together at the last minute, and it's super stressful, but also really cool to be like, all right, I'm just like going to wait and see what happens. And obviously you got a plan, but you also just have to, I've learned how to be a lot more chill and humble and just like relinquish things, you know, and be like, it's going to happen if it's going to happen. And if not, it's going to be an adventure along the way. So yeah, I'm kind of looking down the barrel of a long, probably 2-3 day hitchhike, which is never fun, but it is what it is. And it's a lot funner to do with other people, and doing it alone is kind of like, so I'm excited to get that out of the way. And then I'll get up to Canada and then crank south and just become a southbounder and finish this thing southbound, which, you know, I feel a lot of peace about, and I'm really, really excited to get up to Glacier. So yeah, you know, as much as I don't like to, I've had to kind of bounce around the CDT to knock out the sections that I can, but it's just the way the cookie crumbles out here. Honestly, a lot of people do that on the CDT because it's just difficult to time the seasons. The snow is a lot harder and the fires. And so it's a different beast. Anyone thinking about doing the CDT needs to have an open mind, you know?
I hear you. Hey, so, all right, before a quick tour, M has said, given 2 hearts to the trail moms, and I guess we will save your fly fishing rod gift for another conversation. Corey says, stay safe, Chris. So there's a lot of love coming out your way, and I think everybody is super stoked for the next film installment. But Chris, when you are here, we're going to do a sit down, huge interview on my, you know, I'm going to set up my whole camera setup, and we'll do a big interview that you can use for your film if you should ever care to. But we'll do a couple more Instagram lives when you have
good bandwidth. But you know, yeah. So what's awesome. Jackson, Montana look like?
Here's my setup. I'm literally just kind of dirtbag posted behind this nice hotel. There was like this huge wedding going on in town, and so all the places were booked. And there's right now the population of Jackson is under 20 people, which is tight. It's just a scratch on the map. And that's the same as like some of the other towns I've been going to. And so, yeah, it's just this whole like one horse town. There's like one road going through, but it's cool. In that building right there, there's a hot spring that those nice ladies that got me dinner last night, they also like bought me entrance into those hot springs, and so I just got to like post up there last night and soak. It was awesome. And don't tell anyone, but I sneaked it as an opportunity to do some laundry as well.
Hey, Chris, you are an inspiration. You're a kind and positive soul who has so much has already given so much. I'm excited to catch up with you in your next stop, perhaps even if it's just a quick phone call, so totally. I can update my happiness quotient fans, which are not nearly as numerous as your to Measure a Mile fans, rightly so, which is the brilliant film. Thank you for taking the time out of your day. We will all be eagerly awaiting updates, and I will save this, if I don't screw it up, I will save this conversation here on my IGTV and hopefully convert it also to an audio interview for the happiness quotient, and I'll try to get that on today. So awesome. And I'll share it with you and my friends, and you know, because it's really uplifting. I'm here in Bartlett, New Hampshire. It's raining, and it's been yucky and chilly. I had a wood stove going last night. It's July.
Good night. Last night, so I'm hitting record temps out here on the West Coast, just barely making it up these hills, running through way too much water. It's we're living in opposite worlds right now for sure.
I'll send you some of the rain or the cool weather. And S. Bowden says, loved catching this in our prayers.
Aww,
and then there's some.
I appreciate that. Thank you so
much.
So many
kind people.
Those are so appreciated.
Wonderful. Well, my man, slay it, dude. And I'll talk to you on the flip side.
I appreciate it, Tom. Thank you so much. You're an inspiration to me and so many others. And thanks for having me on. And thanks for the wisdom. And it's just, it's great. Great to catch up.
Likewise, my man. Likewise.
The road ahead. I appreciate it.
As of this recording, Chris is measuring his next steps. There is a lot of smoke from forest fires in the Montana area. If you want to follow him, please find him on his Instagram page. You can message him and encourage him. He is at ChrisCarter146. And anybody of my friends and listeners from Livingston or Bozeman, realizing that's about 3 hours away from where he is right now, that wants to be a trail angel, bring him a meal, treat him to a warm shower at your home, he would be more than willing to oblige your kindness. Chris's inspiring film is called To Measure a Mile, A Journey Along the Pacific Crest Trail. It is magnificent. You have to watch it. It will inspire you and potentially motivate you to get out there and do something of your own that you've been dreaming of. Type in To Measure a Mile and click subscribe on his YouTube page, Chris Carter. One of Chris's mottos is, if you put your mind to it, you can do anything. What Chris is doing is truly out of this world, certainly one of a kind, individual. We wish him safe travels. Chris, we'll check in soon. I look forward to having you visit us here in the Mount Washington Valley of New Hampshire on your southern swing of the Appalachian Trail. Stay safe, my man. Slay it. Happy, happy, happy. Thank you to the Wood Brothers and their management for the use of their song Happiness Jones for our theme song here on The Happiness Quotient, and to their publicist, Kevin Calabro, for helping make it happen. If you'd like a free downloadable PDF of The Happiness Quotient's A Course in Happiness, visit me at patreon.com/thehappinessquotient. And for more information about me, to inquire about personal coaching or public speaking in person or virtually, visit me at eyesopenproductions.com. You can write me anytime at tom.dharma.pollard@gmail. Please share this episode with anyone that might find these words inspiring. I rely on the kindness of my listeners, you, to share and distribute the episodes. And while you're at it, click some stars and leave me a review on Apple Podcasts. Remember, something very bright awaits us. Set one's mind straight, guard your thoughts, keep your mind filled with good intent. Even though the search can sometimes be dark and deep, something bright awaits us in the insane and never boring journey that we call life. Thank you for visiting The Happiness Quotient. I will see you all real soon. I might as well change my name to Happiness Jones, my friend. Happiness Jones.